Welcome to Special One Cards Podcast, a weekly podcast on the soccer market, soccer cards. We talk about prospects, we talk about products, and we look at some data to help you make some buying decisions for the future. Hosted by me, Paulo, on a weekly basis. Look for special guests occasionally, and don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Special One Cards. Looking forward to interacting with all of you. Wow, welcome everybody. Episode 49, man. We're one away from 50. That's 2 weeks in a row of releasing this on the Friday. I'm recording on Thursday, but you will see this if you're listening to this, then it is probably Friday or Saturday on the weekend, and I hope you guys are enjoying the start of your weekend. Episode 49, like I said, I'm Paulo. If you're not following me on Instagram, follow me there at Special One Cards, SPECILONE Cards. And don't forget to DM me and send me messages on Instagram with questions, anything that's popped up recently for you, any, you know, huge hits that you might have had. Yeah, would love to kind of talk. So today's episode, going to talk about a few things. We've got some transfer kind of news brewing. I want to do an update on a no longer really a prospect. Everybody knows who he is, but we'll do an update on a particular player coming up, because some of you may have had the question, well, why is this guy not really succeeding right now? And I want to kind of give you some details on that. Want to talk about, we're going to do a prospect deep dive today too. Somebody who's been in the news lately, if you're not watching or following the news online this week, there's a lot of talk coming out of Tottenham and Spurs and a potential player that they'd be moving for, an 18-year-old, a really young, talented kid, you know, that could be a very promising player, a player that I've actually, a lot of the breaks I've gotten into this past year, I was looking for his cards, and we'll talk a little bit about that in particular, that special player. We're going to talk a little about the FIFA 11. I know there's a lot of controversy right now in terms of the award that was given out, or the awards, I should say, that were given out this past week. I believe that was, I believe that was earlier this week when that happened. So, you know, kind of an interesting thing to look at in terms of the different perspectives on what, who won what, do they deserve it, you know, kind of want to look at that too as well. So glad to have you guys here. I am also going to do a giveaway. I'm going to announce that later on in the episode, so you'll have to kind of listen through it to get clues on what it is and what I'll be doing. So hopefully you listen to the episode. Make sure you share, like, subscribe to the episodes. That way you're notified when new episodes pop up, and please share them with friends. Obviously, my audience is still growing, and it's growing quite a bit. So I thank all of you for that as well. But let's get into it. All right. So let's start off first with the, FIFA awards that happened, earlier this week. I think that was either Monday or Tuesday, or was it last week? I can't even remember, to be honest. So this was the best FIFA football award 2023 ceremony. It was held in London on the 15th. Yeah, that was Monday, I think. You know, you had the best FIFA women's player awarded, the best men's, best goalkeeper, women's and men's, best coaches, women's and men's, the Puskas Award, the special award. And I don't want to go too much into the women. Shout out to the women. I just don't watch enough of it to know enough to speak on it. So I'm going to leave the women's stuff alone. I just don't think I have the credentials, or the knowledge, I should say, to really give you kind of an overview of my feelings on what occurred there on the women's side. So on the men's side, really interesting. You know, I thought the awards were pretty interesting. You know, the best FIFA, they had the FIFA Pro, FIFA Pro Men's World 11 2023. The goalkeeper was Thibaut Courtois, obviously the Real Madrid goalkeeper, who also represent Belgium on the national stage. I'm not really against that. I mean, that could have been called into question for the FIFA Pro. I guess, you know, with Ederson winning the best goalkeeper, I think he did win the best goalkeeper. Makes sense that maybe they didn't want to give them both. But again, I don't really know if that's a viable kind of way to really do this. If you're going to award the best, you got to give them whoever the best is. Defenders, Ruben Dias, John Stones, and Kyle Walker. No, I have no issues with those selections. You know, City had a great year. So, you know, those guys deserve to be on this list. Midfielders, Jude Bellingham, Kevin De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva. Again, it's hard for me to really kind of understand the award time frame on this. If it's for the calendar year of 23 or if it's for the season 23 going to 24. It's so confusing. But based on 23, I mean, Bellingham, I guess you can make the case for him. He's been kind of since August with Real Madrid, but just been in stunning form. So I can understand that. Although I could have probably chosen somebody else. Kevin De Bruyne is the other. And then Bernardo Silva. So two Portuguese players making the FIFA Pro Best 11, which is great. You know, De Bruyne, obviously, and Bernardo Silva both won, you know, the Champions League, the Premier League, etc. They won everything. So no issues there with that either. Good to see Bernardo Silva and Ruben Dias on the list. I'm going to just point that out. Forward. So this one's a little more interesting. Erling Haaland, again, deserving. Vinicius Jr., again, deserving. Kylian Mbappe, again, deserving. And then the last one's kind of, to me, you know, I don't want to be a Messi hater. I like Messi. We're very lucky to have seen him and Ronaldo play. And I'm not saying Ronaldo belongs in this 11, but I'm not sure Messi belongs in this 11. For the calendar year for 2023, what did he really do? He didn't really do much. You know, he went to Miami, you know, represented Argentina. Actually, you know, probably not really, actually, because the World Cup ended in 22. So, you know, this is where it gets really dicey on this argument. You know, did he have that much of an impact at Miami? Of course he did. But, you know, they didn't even go to the playoffs, I'm pretty sure. They won that cup, but, you know, whatever. Whatever the case may be. I don't know. It just seems like this is really strange what's going on here. So Messi being the 11, I don't understand that. And I'll get into some more of that later on. Men's best goalkeeper, Ederson from City won. Obviously, he, you know, narrowly beat Courtois by 3 votes. You know, again, you know, he won everything, deserving, I guess. When you win everything, you're a vital piece of what goes on. FIFA men's best coach, no surprise here, Pep Guardiola. City really kind of cleaned up here, and it wasn't even close. I mean, Luciano Spalletti finished in second with 18 scoring points, Pep Guardiola 28, and then Simone Inzaghi with 11 as well. So two Italians in the top three. I have no issues with these. You know, Pep deserves it, won everything, managed a locker room full of stars. So deserving, no issues there. Now, the best FIFA men's player, Lionel Messi won it in 22. I would imagine, you know, 22, he won the World Cup. I get it. Won the FIFA Ballon d'Or 2 as well this past edition. I get it. This one I'm really perplexed by. Erling Haaland really deserved it. He won everything, right? If you're giving Pep Guardiola, if you're giving Ederson the best goalkeeper in the world for this calendar year, I don't understand how Messi got this award. Now, Erling Haaland and Messi were tied with 48 points each. And how they separated the voting for Messi won was they were separated with a number of first choice nominations received and votes from national team captains per the rules of allocation. So Article 12 in the rules of allocation, let me kind of, I guess, read the rule to you guys, just so you guys understand how that tiebreaker happened. So Article 12 states, In the event of a tie for first place after the above procedure has been applied, the player, coach, or goalkeeper with the highest number of 5-point scores from the votes cast by the nominee's own group of voters per Article 10. So they always refer to these other articles within the article, within the rule. It's kind of crazy. For men's votes, it's men's national team captains. So all men's national team captains, those votes came in for Messi, most of them. So that was a tiebreaker. So I'm not going to read the whole rule. I don't know. I'm really perplexed by this. These awards to me are starting to kind of lose its luster and what they mean. You're giving out awards just to give them out to Messi and just stack his cabinet with awards. I mean, is there a doubt that he's not the best ever at this point? I mean, the accolades say so. The numbers are there. He's won everything. I just don't know. I mean, again, I've said this before. What if Ronaldo wins the Euros and then the World Cup in 26? What happens then? Does FIFA say, Ronaldo, you're the best player in the world. You won the World Cup. I would hope so. That's what they did with Messi, right? I don't know. I hate beating a dead horse. Erling Haaland deserved this award. I just don't understand how he didn't get it. I mean, I do understand now because it's based on the voting and the rules in Article 12 and the FIFA allocation rules. So I don't know. I'm perplexed. I hate beating a dead horse, and I continue to do this, but this is like such a dead horse conversation. It doesn't matter what you say or do. There's nothing we can do about it. So it is what it is. So congratulations to Messi on the award. There is going to be some significant, I think, backlash. I've seen it on social media. I've seen people really angry complaining about this. I mean, Erling Haaland had a phenomenal year, deserved the award. I may not be his biggest fan, but hell of a year, hell of a player. Instrumental in City winning the title, winning all those titles this year. I'm just really confused. And if you guys are confused too, I understand it. And I can't even answer as to why this has happened. But it is what it is. So I hate beating a dead horse. We continue to do it, but we got to move on from that. So I don't know anymore what to say of this. I don't know what Erling Haaland has to do this year to even win an award like that. Because at this point, I think Bellingham's probably going to win that award. And again, if it's based on calendar year of 2024, we don't even know yet. It's hard for me to say. But that's that. And I hate to continue to talk about it, so I'm going to move on from it. And we're going to move right into, we're going to talk some prospect, or actually not really a prospect anymore, because he's kind of already started to play a lot more, had a transfer this summer, but what's been going on with him, right? This is kind of the question of Gonçalo Ramos from Benfica, who made that move to PSG this summer, and PSG triggered the buy clause. So, you know, what is happening with Gonçalo Ramos? So, our Benfica guy, Gonçalo Ramos, or my Benfica guy, Gonçalo Ramos, transferred to PSG this summer. From Benfica. He is still only 22 years old, just turned 22 this past summer. And people are kind of like, well, what's going on with Gonçalo Ramos? So his numbers this year, 19 appearances. He's got 4 goals and 1 assist. So hardly the numbers we're used to seeing him at Benfica last season. Very different, and very different player as compared to what we saw at the World Cup with that hat trick, etc. One of the more happy things is that I think last week, when was that game? In the France Cup game, he scored a goal, started the game as a center forward. Hasn't started a lot this year, and I'm going to kind of go over as to why that has happened. He's been on the bench or not in the squad, injured, etc. And the injury wasn't really an injury for Gonçalo Ramos. Gonçalo Ramos seemed to have picked up some kind of virus in November, apparently, where he lost a considerable amount of weight. So his physical and cardio well-being was basically in harm's way. And there were rumors that PSG was not happy and that they were going to transfer him and sell him on. But I don't think that's the case anymore after hearing Luis Enrique speak this week regarding him. Ramos is still a high-valued center forward for PSG and for world football, still very young, has a lot to give, I believe, this coming season. We could see kind of a rejuvenation of him this season. But a lot of people have kind of been asking, well, what happened to Gonçalo Ramos? Is he a bust? What's going on? No, I don't think he's a bust. I think you know, this virus really kind of put him back. And they really disclosed what kind of a virus it was or anything like that. It's just been reported in the media. That is what happened at the time. Lost some weight. And then, you know, they also had signed Colomani, who's, you know, they're not the same player, obviously, very different players. But I think the way Luis Enrique plays is, you know, you can only have one on the field, I think, at that point in time, especially with Mbappe playing as well. What has that done to Gonzalo Ramos's cards lately? Well, started digging some card data out. I went out to look at only his rookie cards. Most notably, most recently, we saw, this is one of his better, nicer cards, I think. His chrome, his Merlin chrome, gold atomic refractor. Those are of 50 for those that don't know that. PSA 10 recently sold for $230.49. That was back in November. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty good price. That card has gone as high as $8 to $1,000, I think, at the peak, especially during that World Cup run. There's still a lot of promise on this kid. And there's potentially some opportunity here to really kind of buy into some of his cards at a lower, cheaper rate and try to make advantage. And try to take advantage of the market if you do seem fit, right? If you're not a collector and don't care, doesn't really matter. One of the other things to remember, too, is with Portugal coming up with the Euros this summer is – Bruno Martinez, he's used Ramos and Ronaldo on this, on the field many times at the same time in some of these qualifiers, and they've linked up very well. Gonzalo Ramos is more of a center forward than an actual real number nine when you think about it. He is a really good poacher in front of the net, but he's really kind of, and I've said this before, multi-talented, diverse in his game, diverse in terms of where he can play on the field on that top line. So, you know, this might be a good opportunity to come in and say, you know what, let me take a shot with Ramos, see if I can make some money. Or if you're a collector, then you're buying to hold and keep. I mean, his green refractor in November, those are of 99. Merlin Chrome rookies sold for $21. So, you know, there's an obvious opportunity, and I'm bringing him up not for the fact that I own some of his stuff, but just for the fact that there's got to be some awareness in terms of opportunities that are out there that may be available for somebody. You know, I saw an Aqua Prism refractor sell a PSA 8. I mean, granted, it's only an 8 for $1.31. You're trying to tell me you can't turn around and sell that card for $5? Of course you can. So, you know, consider Ramos, start thinking about him and what he might mean for the upcoming Euros and for the second half of the season here for PSG. We'll probably see more of him. Seems like he's on the mend now, having scored in that France Cup game last week. I would take a look at him. I think there's some opportunity there to make some money as well. So take a look at his cards. Again, his rookie cards come out of Merlin Chrome 2020-21. Topps Merlin Chrome, it's card number 35 out of that set. No, I may have gotten that number wrong, actually. No, it's not card 35. It's actually card 52. Yeah, it's card number 52 out of the Merlin set. He is a unique one because that's the only rookie card he has. There's one other rookie that has a rookie logo on it, and it's that Topps Finest Flashbacks, but that came out a year after, so I don't really kind of acknowledge that as a rookie card. So, again, Ramos, do you like the prospects of investing in him for the future? For me, it's not really an investment. For me, it's more of a keep and hold, since I am a Benfica and a Ramos fan. But for you, it might be something that you might be interested in. Another really interesting sale, and this that I had seen out of it, was the 21-22 Topps Finest Flashbacks that I just mentioned. Card number 187, a red refractor, which is PSA 10, sold on September 8th for $1,000. So that was before the season started, sold for $1,000. Card ladder values at about $895. So about $100 kind of down on that card. Somebody is about, you know, the 10% or whatever it may be. But I don't consider that as rookie. So even though there is a rookie, there is an RC badge on that. So tread carefully on that card. I'm not sure if that's a card that's going to be in high demand, the one from Finest Flashback. So that's Gonzalo Ramos, an opportunity that may be in the works for many of you. If you are interested, let me know. If you have other questions about it, shoot me a comment on my Instagram. I may be posting about Ramos again anyways, maybe a specific reel regarding him and an opportunity that may be available for the hobby. All right, it's time for our rookie spotlight, rookie dive, aka rookie deep dive. That's what the Hockey Gong Show calls their rookie review or rookie previews. Generally, I choose these, right? I don't give you guys the option, but I may start giving you guys the option with a Instagram poll that'll begin the week so that when I record an episode, I can have somebody to do a kind of a rookie deep dive. That's what the Hockey Gong Show does. So it might be a good way to kind of look at this and start to kind of talk about some rookies. So who are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about a guy today that's been in a few sets this year. He's in Merlin. He's in Finest. He's in Chrome. He's in Sapphire. He's in every release possible, which can sometimes deter people. But I want to talk in particular about this player because he's got a unique thing going for him in terms of the card hobby. So I am talking about the 18-year-old Norwegian wonder kid that plays at Club Brugge in the Belgian League. He is Norwegian, will be Erling Haaland's teammate eventually on the Norway national team if they ever qualify for an international tournament. And of course, I'm talking about Antonio Nusa. Antonio Nusa is a left winger. He's 18 years old. Again, like I said, from Norway, playing at Club Brugge in the Belgian League. This season, he has appeared 26 times. He's scored 3 goals, had 3 assists this year. He had an assist in the Champions League qualifier. In the Belgian League, he's got 2 goals and 14 appearances and 2 assists as well. Now, one of the things that's kind of hurt Nusa, not his hobby value per se, because I think he's really expensive right now, have been his injuries. He's suffered some kind of a back injury that's kind of just been sitting there for months. And he scored a goal in the Europa Conference League against Bold in December. He did score in that game, which was good to hear. He only played 60 minutes. Again, he's only 18, just turned 18. I think at the time, too, when he made his Bruges debut, if I could be wrong, but he was one of the youngest ever to score in a Champions League game. So, you know, excellent talent. He has, you know, he did score a goal in an international friendly too in September against Jordan, albeit against Jordan, but a goal and an assist in that game. But that back injury is really kind of something that concerns me. And I'm hoping that they've got this right finally and that he's able to continuously play now. He did play at the end of December in the Belgian League. I'm not sure if he's played since, though. So, you know, actually, no, he has. He did play in the Belgian Cup game in the quarterfinals back actually this week. So that's good to hear. He played 70 minutes, seemed pretty fit. Didn't score. But all the rage about Antonio Nusa, right? Some of the rumors this week are Tottenham are making a bid, 30, 35 million for the 18-year-old. I'm still kind of, they say Chelsea's in their hunt for him too. So there's a rumor of Chelsea as well. Kids, I don't know how many more attacking players Chelsea need, but, you know, they're trying for more. So Antonio Nusa, let me tell you a little bit about Antonio Nusa. So he's a guy that I've actually been chasing quite a bit in a lot of the breaks. Top's Finest primarily, and then Merlin as well. And I'm going to tell you why. I haven't really chased this Chrome stuff. So in Merlin, he has 1 auto. In Finest, he also has 1 auto. Very hard to get. And I think it's been the gold auto. In the Finest, I think it's a gold auto, which is the 50, the gold parallel. And then in Merlin, it's an under 21. But those are the only autos Nusa has. So what that is, there's a little scarcity there, right? When you talk about Nusa and his autos, because he doesn't have like crazy autos like a lot of players do. So now let's talk a little bit more about what he is, what he could potentially become. Like I said, he's a left winger, modern type of attacker, explosive, playing. He can play anywhere across the front line. So just not left wing. He can also come more on the right. He can play in the center forward. He can play as a striker. But he's most comfortable on the left. And he often will come inside and take the ball on a stronger foot, which is his right foot. That's a big thing. He is an attack-minded player. So he will go one-on-one with players. But he's also capable of making that really precise, calculated pass to runners that are coming in from behind around the center back. So, but his one of the encouraging things about him is his first instinct is to really go at the goal. So he's an explosive left winger that really wants to score, not make that pass first. So, you know, in some cases that can be a bad thing, but it can also be a good thing. The bad side of it is if somebody's open, isn't giving the ball, that's the issue. But in terms of a goal scoring plotted and increasing his game, this is huge that he wants to really do that. He is really a really good, I shouldn't say good, but he's above average for a technical player. Really explosive, really dynamic on one-on-one scenarios against, you know, many center backs of the world, left backs of the world, right backs of the world, etc. Just really good. He does need, you know, he needs a little more growth, right? He's only just turned 18, and it shouldn't. You know, I think he's raw in some cases, and he'll develop, right? So teams shouldn't be scared of that. He hasn't played in a top five league. With the right coaching, I think he can really become a world-class player. Is he going to score 40 goals? Probably not. But he can be really become kind of a leading player on a team that plays attacking football. So that's a really good thing about Antonio Nusa. One of the things about him that's really kind of, I wouldn't say odd, but really encouraging is that defensively, he is a player who really works hard and is diligent at tracking back, you know, and that makes life easier for fullback on his team. So Nusa is working on the field, attacking and defending, coming back. And it helps him really go, you know, in some ways that helps his game, right? That way he tracks back, maybe receives the ball or can go one-on-one and be really explosive. When you watch Nusa, and I've read some articles about him, people have compared him to like watching Sadio Mane, you know, in terms of natural talent. Not saying that he's Sadio Mane, but in terms of natural raw talent, that's what they're looking at. So, you know, he's Nusa's very young, so there is going to be some erratic play. So don't get frustrated by that. But he, you know, I think he's going to become a really interesting, really good player for the time being. Now, let's see what happens where he ends up. You know, is it the Premier League? Is it somewhere else? You know, where does he go? I think this deal with Tottenham is probably going to get done, 30, 35 million. That probably happens. And I think that's a great pickup for Tottenham. Going to work under Pochettino could be a very good – not Pochettino. Pochettino is at Chelsea. But going to work under the former Celtic coach could be a very good thing for him. So at Tottenham, at Spurs. So he's interesting to see. Again, his cards, like I said, he's only got two autos, right? Top's Finest to 50. I don't think I've ever seen any other ones. I'm pretty sure I could be wrong there, but I don't think I've ever seen any autos of Nusa other than the 50s. And then the Merlin Chrome U21, which is numbered to 100. Those cards, just to give you an idea, some sales history on Nusa, and the secret's out, right? His last sale, a Nusa Topps Merlin rookie auto, which is numbered to 100, this is according to Card Ladder, was on the 16th of January this month. So this earlier this week, $263. His other last two sales were, and I'm trying to make sure, these are two different cards, it looks like. January 8th, one sold for $435. January 6th, one sold for $434. You had one on January 2nd, sell for $375. You had one on the 13th of December, sell for $400. You had one on December 13th as well, sell for $500. So people know about this kid, and they're really, this is really kind of a prospect that people are kind of really chasing, and the news is getting out. I haven't really talked about him much for a few reasons. One of them, I was trying to buy his stuff, and I've got a lot of stuff grading, so which I'm happy with because I'm going to sell some of it, and I'm going to give some people some really good prices on this. I just bought one of his Merlin autos as well, and I paid a hefty number for it. I'm taking a gamble, but I'm hoping that some of the Nusa stuff that I did send from Topps Finest, that people will want to buy it to help compensate and make up for that money. So I have various parallels that are grading. Those should be back soon, any day. As soon as they come back, I'll let you know. And you guys can get first dibs on some of this stuff before I even post on Instagram, maybe. Unless I post on Instagram, you'll probably see it anyway. So, but we're going to post some of that stuff. I'm going to keep certain things like the gold of 50 from Finest. I'll keep that. This Merlin auto I'm going to keep. And there's a few other ones that I really like that I'll keep. So I have some duplicates of it. So I'm going to be happy to kind of try to give people some really good prices on it. If you're interested in taking kind of a gamble on a player like this, because he's only 18, so you got to be a little patient. You don't want to sell it right away. You want to kind of hold it. Now, if he does make that move to Tottenham, it seems like he's going to be able to stay at Bruges for the remaining part of the year, and he'll join Spurs in the summer once camp opens up again. So I don't expect his pricing's already kind of, I feel like, baked into it. It's already the transfer and the hype of a potential superstar becoming a superstar. Excuse me, potential youngster becoming a superstar. So I think the pricing is already too expensive for some of this stuff, especially of his autos. His autos are scarce because he only got those two autos. I could be wrong on the Finest stuff, but I'm pretty sure that's all I've seen. I was in a lot of breaks for Bruges, didn't pull one auto. I knew there was enough 50 because I've seen it pulled by somebody, but I've not seen anything else. So I could be wrong. But so keep an eye on Antonio Nusa, Norwegian international, just turned 18. Fantastic player with a lot of raw talent, explosive, great pace, great technical ability, loves to take defenders one-on-one, loves to shoot first versus passing first. I think he's got all the tools necessary to become a really kind of prime player for Spurs, and I think those Spurs fans will love him. Whether he stays there the whole time, I'm not sure. The other cards I want to talk about of his are some of his other higher or lower numbered cards that have sold. You had an of 25, which is a Topps paper product, sell for $55. Not a bad price there. You had a Finest of 250 sell for $15. You had a Speckle out of Merlin of 150 sell for $10. So you can still get in relatively at a good price for some of this stuff. You had an SGC. Year of the Rabbit, I think that's a Jade of 99 sold for $42. That's an SGC 10 that's sold. Some of his bigger cards, I'm not really seeing many of them on the market in terms of lower number cards. You had a Gold Lava in January this month actually for $22.50, which I think that's a pretty good deal on that card. Rose Gold, which is an of 75 out of Finest, sold for $19 this month. His biggest card, though, I'm going to say right now, is probably, he had a green, actually, Sapphire of 70, sell for $170 last week. That's kind of the biggest one I see on here besides the auto out of Merlin. I'm wondering if there's been anything else. I feel like people are hoarding this card. His auto, $434 for the of 100 Merlin under 21 rookie. His cards are just, I don't know. There's some stuff that's pretty cheap if you can find, you know, whichever one you like, some numbered stuff that you may have, or some SSPs or things of that nature. Like, I love his purple refractor out of Finest. It's enough $299. Yeah, it's higher numbered, but $6, you know. This kid goes on to become something. Those cards can double in value. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff here. You have a Youthquake as well, sold for $2.99. You know, a card that you don't pull that often out of that stuff, but his autos are ridiculously priced. They're crazy. So, you know, take a look at Antonio Nusa. Could be a good little buy. I actually have an Inferno grading, which is out of paper. I hope it tends. It looked a little off-center, so I might lose on that one. Here's one. Gold Refractor, Atomic Gold Refractor sold. That's enough 50. Merlin sold for $83 and $83 back in December. I would imagine that card today is probably going to sell for $100, $125. That's just my take on the speculation of him transferring. So Antonio Nusa, remember that name. If you're interested in any Antonio Nusa Topps Finest, once I get that stuff back from grading, I'm happy to give people good deals on some of it, but I am keeping some of it for myself. So Antonio Nusa, you guys like Antonio Nusa or not? Let me know. Maybe I'll put up another poll for Antonio Nusa, whether you guys like him or not. All right, guys, that is episode 49, episode 50 next week. haven't really decided what I'm gonna do, but maybe we should do something fun. I know I talked about a giveaway, but maybe I'm gonna wait till next week for that. Give you guys some details on what I will be giving away for you guys, for somebody to win. It won't be anything great, obviously. I try to give stuff away that's kind of cool, but not terrible. But yeah, I'm looking forward to doing next week's episode. Haven't really decided yet on episode 50 what to do or what to kind of celebrate that with. I know that doesn't seem like a lot to many people, but to me it is. So it's 50 episodes of this podcast. Some of you have been here for the whole time, and I really appreciate all of you guys. Continue to share, continue to subscribe, continue to like my posts on Instagram, continue to like this podcast. It really helps me and really motivates me to do more. Again, I told you guys in the new year that we have some big things coming up in the next few months, and that is the case. It's coming up. I can't wait to announce some of the different things that will, some of the new initiatives that I am going to be instituting for this podcast and for our community to really enjoy. So again, guys, thank you again. Episode 50 next week. Be there, be square. It will release by Friday. It looks like Friday is the day for me to drop episodes. Again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Appreciate all of you guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of Special One Cards. Join us again next week, and don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Special One Cards. DM me any questions, concerns, hobby rants, or experiences you've had at shows, online, something for us to kind of talk about a little bit more. Again, thank you for the support. I really do appreciate it.